Backseat Box Office, episode number 179, for the weekend of February 21st through February 23rd, 2014.
Hey, this is Lena.
And this is Jeff.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you're listening to Backseat Box Office. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Lena, and welcome back.
Thank you. I missed you guys last week, and now Art. Now I miss Art again.
We'll get all three of us one of these times, but I had some kid trouble when I got home, and now I hear that there is a meltdown happening at somewhere in Chicago, so that's okay. we'll catch you next time.
A sleeping baby who does not want to sleep. Mm-hmm. And when she gets older, she'll realize how magnificent sleep is. Yes. Kids don't know what they're missing.
I'm still trying to teach that to my son.
Yeah.
So, Lena, how did the box office do last week?
Basically, it did as most people expected it to do. The Lego Movie held at number one, grossing $49.8 million. About Last Night opened at number two, grossing, wow, that is not $256 million. I have to assume it's $25.6 million. That's what I get for typing without my glasses. RoboCop opened at number three, grossing $21.7 million. The Monuments Men fell number four with $15.5 million. And The Slove opened at five, grossing $13.3 million. And I also just need to mention Ride Along came in at number six, and Winter's Tale opened at seven. And from there, we can jump over to movie pickings. And did we have any perfect scores? Yeah, we did. Was it Jeff who's the usual culprit? No, it wasn't. Oh, I say this with love in my heart and a burning in my soul. Welcome back, BD. Congratulations on your 25. You voodoo bastard. I don't know how you do this. I really don't.
On one hand, I'm glad that BD is now sending pics again.
Yes.
And everything's okay, that nothing happened to him. But then again,
he's BD'd the whole thing.
Damn it, BD. 25. Well, that's what you call a theatrical return.
Like
or,
a boss.
Or how to, like how to make a triumphant return.
We are very happy you're back, BD. You bastard. And I say that with love. You bastard. Okay, so obviously don't need to rehash his picks because he got them all right. Next, Jeff and Kugron had a 23. So, Jeff, tell everyone how the two of you picked.
We had the first three right. I had The Lego Movie at one, About Last Night at two, and RoboCop at three. We ended up flipping number four and number five. So I had Endless Love at four, and it came in at five. And I had Monuments Men at five, and it came in at four. So I lost 1 point each, which gave us a nice uneven 23.
And well done to both of you. Next up, we have another returning child, lovely Scuba Dave, who has a voicemail, so let's give a listen.
Hey, this is Scuba Dave, and I'm calling in for my picks. For number one, I'm going to choose The Lego Movie. Number two, RoboCop. Number three, About Last Night. Number four, Endless Love. And number five, The Monuments Men. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave, and welcome back again. He had 21 points. He had The Lego Movie correct in first. He flip-flopped RoboCop and About Last Night. And then he flip-flopped Endless Love and Monuments Men. And our third missing host, Art, had 17 points. He had The Lego Movie correct in first. Winter's Tale in second, and that actually came in seventh, so that was a five-point hit. RoboCop had correct in third. About Last Night he had in fourth, and that came in second. And Monuments Men he had in fifth, and that came in fourth. So from there, I'm going to jump to... And no, I'm not forgetting anything. I'm going to jump to the leaderboard. Come on. Ugh. Stupid mouse pad thinker thing. With BD's return and his perfect score, he has reclaimed his throne and has the number one spot. Jeff is in second with 20.9 points. Kugran in third with 20.2. Kugran in third. Art is in fourth with 17.4. Scuba Dave in fourth with 17 points. Nick is in sixth with 14.7. I'm in seventh with 14.4. And Tad is in eighth with 12.8. And now I jump back to... So I can get this thing open. Come on. Jump back to Art's house. And Art actually had the high pick with Jimmy P. That averaged $7,191. Jeff, you had Adult World that averaged $18.92, and Father Beast's pick of Date and Switch did not report anything. So the standings currently, I have 4 points, Jeff has 3, and Art has 2 points. And
Art has won back to back, so now I'm a little worried.
Why won't this thing? Okay. Actually, I need to make a change to the Amazon gift card spreadsheet because I totally forgot that BD is back. So BD's name gets tossed into the Amazon gift card hat, and as it stands right now, Kugran has 5 entries, Tad has 2, Scuba Dave has 1, and BD also has 1. But as I said to Jeff beforehand, really does BD need anything else? It's that voodoo. I think this is all he needs. I'm just saying. Just saying. And I think that's it as far as all that stuff goes. I covered it all.
Very good.
And how many movies do we have coming out this week?
We have 2 movies coming out this week.
Mm-hmm.
Pompeii and 3 Days to Kill. So let's talk about Pompeii first.
Right.
Pompeii has no reviews yet. But 95% of the Rotten Tomatoes user want to see it, and about 20,000 of these users felt like they had to let us know by clicking on the poll. So here's the description. Set in 79 AD, Pompeii tells us the epic story of Milo, Kit Harington, a slave-turned-invincible gladiator who finds himself in a race against time to save his true love, Cassia, played by Emily Browning, the beautiful daughter of a wealthy merchant who has been unwillingly betrothed to a, you guessed it, corrupt Roman senator. As Mount Vesuvius erupts in a torrent of blazing lava, Milo must fight his way out of the arena in order to save his beloved as the once magnificent Pompeii crumbles around him. Now, wow, there's no Otis in this. I always think Milo and Otis. Also in this movie, we have Carrie-Anne Moss, Adewale Akunye Abaje. It was Mr. Echo on Lost. That's the shortest way I can say it. Also has Kiefer Sutherland.
Really?
Yes. So another historical drama with all kinds of crap blowing up, probably lava.
One would hope, because it would be a really sucky movie if it didn't.
Yes, and according to the Genre Police, it's a drama, action and adventure, mystery and suspense. So, yeah, that looks like a rental.
Can I be a total bitch and spoil it? The volcano erupts. Just saying.
It's kind of on the poster. It's kind of on the poster.
Well, then what kind of suspense is it? I don't understand.
Okay, the next movie is 3 Days to Kill, which also has no reviews yet, and also 95% of the Rotten Tomatoes users want to see it, but only about 11,000 felt like they had the vote. So, 3 Days to Kill. In this heart-pounding action thriller, Kevin Costner is a dangerous international spy who is determined to give up his high-stakes life to finally build a closer relationship with his estranged wife and daughter, whom he's previously kept at arm's length to keep out of danger. But first, he must complete one last mission, even if it means juggling the two toughest assignments, yet hunting down the world's most ruthless terrorist and looking after his teenage daughter for the first time in 10 years, while his wife is out of town. And apparently there's 4 people in it. No, there's got to be more. Kevin Costner, Haley Steinfeld, Amber Heard, Connie Nielsen. And we are going to refresh it. Nope, still. Nope, it's circle, circle, circle. Nope. That's it for the cast. PG-13, 1 hour and 40 minutes. Directed by Mick G.
Oh, okay.
Who directed a lot of episodes of Chuck. He also did This Means War. So any interest in seeing this one, Lena?
I have much more interest in seeing Pompeii. But I'm weary of that, just because, like, I'd want to see it for more of a historical point, but I'm thinking that's really not what it's got going on with it.
Yeah, it's a little strange that I don't think there's been a lot of spy movies that have been an hour and 40 minutes.
Wow.
I always thought they'd be, you know, longer. Maybe I'm just, you know, ruined by the, you know, the 007 movies that seem like they go on forever and ever and ever.
True.
But sometimes that's a good thing.
This is true.
So, anyways. And that's the 2 movies we have in wide release for this week.
Oh, I don't feel good about these, the next part.
What
not
that?
Just for
picks?
It's movie picking time.
Feel like a little more pressure now that BD has returned?
Oh, no. I have no.
Okay.
I have no hope at all against him. I'm like next to last. All I ever shoot for is to be above 5th place now.
We're not
That's
the worst.
How my life has become.
We're not the worst.
Oh, no. Just making picks. I don't like anything. I'm feeling grumpy. But you get to go first.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. At number 1, I think I might put Lego Movie number 1 until the for the rest of the Amazon contest. Because it's bonkers. Number 2. Even though I don't know if there's a whole lot of star power, but I'm going to reluctantly put Pompeii number 2. Number 3, I'm going to put About Last Night. Number 4, I'm going to put RoboCop. And number 5, I'm going to put The Monuments Man. And probably the one I'm most queasy about is Pompeii at number 2. And we'll leave it there. And for my indie pick, I am going to go with I won't say Hollywood legend, but a filmmaking legend going out with his last movie. Hayao Miyazaki, hope I said that right, The Wind Rises. Now, it is a 2-hour-plus animated movie, but I was impressed by the voice talent he attracted, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, John Krasinski, Emily Blunt, and Martin Short.
Wow.
So I'm rolling with The Wind Rises.
Oh, speaking of, congratulations, Emily Blunt and John Krasinski. They had a baby this weekend.
Oh, wow.
I believe a little pink baby named Hazel. Because if I can't provide, how good am I? Really? Okay. Guess it's time for me to make picks. I'm also going to put the Lego Movie first. It's probably the only thing that is kind of a safe-ish pick. I'm putting About Last Night in second, although now I'm even questioning that, but I've typed it. It's it. It's that's like pen mark to me. I'm putting Pompeii in third, RoboCop in fourth, and Monuments Men in fifth. And my arts house pick, the one that I would pick for me would be Elaine Stritch, because I love her. But I'm going to go with Barefoot, because maybe people will go see it. It's you know, it's with the young people. Evan Rachel Wood and somebody whose name escapes me at the moment. But that's it for my picks.
All right. So that ends the, I guess, the official show. So, Elena.
Yeah.
Did you watch any movies last week?
Not movies, but I did this past weekend borrow some DVDs from, since I am for a brief time without proper internet and cable. So I borrowed the first season of, let's see, the first season of Northern Exposure, the first season of Smallville. Now, Smallville I've never seen at all. What else did I get? First season of Northern Exposure, Smallville.
Wonderfalls.
Thank you. However did you know that? Wonderfalls and The Ellen Show. So I started, because during the week, you know, there's stuff for me to do. I can play on my iPad, and I've actually been reading and catching up on the 1,500 pages that is the 8-book Anne of Green Gables series. Yay me! Because I've always wanted to read it. So when I first got my Nook, when they first hit the market, however many years ago that was, they had the 8-book entire Anne of Avonlea series for $1.99. And I'm up to the second book, which is somewhere around the 350-page mark. But on the weekends, it's very difficult not to have a TV, because just to have it on in the background, I had no idea how much I relied on that. So I borrowed some DVDs. I intended to watch all of season one of Northern Exposure. I hadn't seen that since it was on the air, and that was kind of everyone's introduction to the loveliness that is John Corbett. But the DVDs actually are two-sided, and for whatever reason, my laptop will not recognize it. So I only got to watch 4 of the 8 episodes, which was fine. It was very enjoyable. But then on Sunday, I actually ended up watching the entire run of the one and only season of The Ellen Show. Did you ever see that? It was after Ellen DeGeneres finished Ellen. And then she had a second sitcom with Cloris Leachman played her mother. And
No, I wasn't aware of that one. I remember the one that where she ran the bookstore. Was that the first one?
That was Ellen, yeah. That was before that.
Okay.
The Ellen Show, after she was publicly, you know, after she publicly came out and Ellen finished, this one only ran for one season. It was quite enjoyable. I mean, I remembered it from when it was on the first time. Emily Rutherford played her sister, and she was, if you watch The New Adventures of Old Christine, she was New Christine. Jim Gaffigan played her high school boyfriend who, you know, works at the high school where she ended up getting a job. Martin Mull's in it. It was, you know.
Hot Pockets was on that show?
Hot Pockets. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Which, you know, oh, yeah. And, you know, who doesn't love Jim Gaffigan? Come on. So I ended up watching the entire, you know, run of that first season throughout Sunday. I was tired at one point. It was like 12:30 in the morning, but damn it, I had 2 more episodes. I just need to finish it. So I still have Wonderfalls, which will be probably this coming weekend. If I don't start it this week, then it'll be Wonderfalls weekend. And Smallville, which, again, like I said, I've never seen. So have you? I'm sure you have. Is it good?
I've never watched Smallville.
Oh, okay.
I assumed you had.
No, I'm not a big, well, out here it's Channel 5, but I'm not a big CW
okay.
consumer.
I know Laurie loved it. She bought every season. So that was one she wanted me to take and watch. I was like, okay, fine. That'll work.
But you're killing me because the one of my favorite sitcoms that only lasted one season was Wonderfalls, which I own.
I love that show. I absolutely loved it. When I was trying to figure out what to watch on Sunday, I didn't want the thing about the Ellen show, which is, you know, almost like if you're going to sit there and watch Roseanne, you don't need to invest a whole lot into it. So right. Sometimes I could just have it on and listen. But with Wonderfalls, you need to watch it. You need to be present. And I wasn't in that mindset on Sunday, which is why I haven't watched it yet, because I could not give it the proper attention that it deserves.
I just love the Darren, Karen, Aaron, Sharon, and Jay. Love that.
Well, next week there will be some Wonderfalls to talk about.
Okay, good.
I'm sure you were.
Good.
But yeah, no movies. Lots of Candy Crush. Annoying as hell, Candy Crush.
How what level are you up to?
Let's see. I want to say 345. Hold on. And honestly, without having the internet, if I did not have my iPad mini, I'd be robbing banks. I'd be breaking into people's houses just to watch TV. Because I don't have a huge data plan, so when I absolutely need to get on the internet, which basically at this point is just to update the Backseat Producers website,
mm-hmm.
I use my iPad as a hotspot. But that's about it, because I don't have a huge data plan, so it's I'm already at the point. My billing cycle started on the 9th. Today's the, 18th? And I've already slowed down. So yeah, I'm at 325. And surprisingly, as far as the games on my iPad, I'm embarrassed to say that I am totally getting hooked on Bingo. I did not see that coming. I only played Bingo because some other game I was playing, I got like extra bonuses if I installed Bingo and like played to level 3. So sometimes I'll just load the game, play to whatever level they tell me to, and get rid of it. Oh, I know. I was playing a motocross game, and it kept wanting me to play Bingo. And I like the motocross game. That's fun. But I'm, like, at level 24 in Bingo. I can't stop playing. It's so stupid.
Wow, you're a master.
It's Bingo! I'm a crazy Bingo lady. But I think that's about it.
Well, I watched one indie movie.
Yes.
The movie was called In a World. I think I've mentioned it a couple of times.
In a World. I think you have.
I greatly enjoyed this movie. Not because it was a pioneer in the world of romantic comedies.
Mm-hmm.
It just is a little unique in the fact that it uses the world of voiceover artists as kind of the backdrop for this little romantic comedy.
Oh.
And about how silly people are in Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
Had a lot of, had a very good cast. I've seen these people before in some other things that I enjoyed them. The actress that played the sister, I swear I've seen her in another movie, but I can't place it.
What's her name?
I'm going to say Michaela Watkins. Right, now I gotta look it up.
And you know, when I think of, I feel like she was on Saturday Night Live or something.
Yeah, so her sister is living with a man, and her boyfriend is, God, I always get these two guys mixed up. Not David Koechner. But the other guy, why, now I can't remember anyone's name. All right, hold on.
I even think I know who you're talking about, too.
Rob Corddry.
Yes, I was going to say the guy who was in Warm Bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe that was Koechner. See, even yeah. I'm confusing them.
Nick Offerman was also in it.
I love Nick Offerman.
And the biggest oh my god moment was the father's young girlfriend was, if you've watched all the episodes of Friends, the girl that Ross dates, who happens to be Bruce Willis's daughter.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It was her.
Oh.
And it's been a while, but she still looks the same to me. Ken Marino is also in it. He's funny in everything, at least in my estimation.
I want to dip my balls in it.
Yep. That was him. So it was very good. Wasn't too long. It was kind of a sweet movie. It was funny, and you know, I'm impressed that it was, you know, starred, written, and directed by Lake Bell.
So cool.
I'm looking forward to what she comes up with next. And then the other movie, I took the kids out to the theater and went out with what everyone else was seeing, or I went out and took the kids to see what everyone else was seeing, the Lego Movie.
Tell me something. Now, my friend saw it, so I'm curious. I want to compare her notes to yours.
I'm guessing she didn't like it. Because I had the same discussion with a couple women in my workplace that her husband fell asleep and they didn't like it.
Her thoughts, it definitely was not a kid's movie.
Really? Okay.
She said there was not even a half dozen kids there. They were all adults. She felt it was much more geared towards adults. She found it a little trippy. She enjoyed it. She didn't love it, but she enjoyed it.
Well, there's a big, I guess, through line for the story that's kind of for adults, and they kind of want to deconstruct the hero's journey kind of thing.
Okay.
Because very easily they could have just mailed in, this is the one Lego guy who's special. He's a hero, and he's gonna save everybody. But they kind of take a left turn on that story. But I understand there's been some reviewers that talk about, you know, fascism and that. And I can understand, you know, someone having that viewpoint, even though they've probably watched it too many times.
Okay.
For me, Batman stole the movie. Will Arnett does such a good job as Batman.
I could see that totally happening.
Also, I wish there was more of Superman, because they had Channing Tatum voice Superman.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, this is... I probably enjoyed Wreck-It Ralph more. It was the kind of... It was, the same kind of movie that Lego Movie was.
Okay.
I mean, just because they kind of, you know, they try to take you behind the curtain kind of thing, and there's some... you know, because with this movie, they just throw everything in together. And I realized that there's a lot of Lego sets that I don't remember or that I never played with. but they had a lot of great voice talent. I mean, I don't remember hearing Morgan Freeman in an animated movie very often.
I don't think so either.
But I definitely enjoyed it, but, you know, it's everyone that goes to see it now has probably sky-high expectations because of the reviews, and it's 95%. So I think, you know, everyone, you know, it's inevitable that someone's going to have some letdown.
Now, you went with your kids?
I went with my kids. I've never, I don't say never, but it's been a long time since I've been in a theater, and the theater was that loud before the lights went down.
Really?
It was all, yeah. It was probably because of all the kids. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of empty seats in the theater.
How did your kids like it?
My son loved it. And as usual, there's always at least one point during the movie where he's the loudest person laughing in the entire theater.
Aww.
Yeah, so he definitely enjoyed it. My daughter was, it was okay.
Okay.
She was trying to not see Lego Movie, and she wanted to go to see Endless Love with my wife.
Ugh.
Because my wife didn't want to, she thought she was going to get motion sick, so she did not go to Lego Movie. She went to the other end of the theater and saw Endless Love. And she thought it was great, so it probably means that it was a very good Hallmark Channel movie.
Oh, lordy, lordy. Art will see it.
So, as far as trailers, I got to see the Spider-Man trailer again. When I was watching In a World, they showed two trailers for, one was Austin Land. Do you remember Austin Land?
About Jane Austen.
Yeah, so it basically stars Carrie Russell as, who's a huge Jane Austen fangirl. And so she goes on a destination weekend to this place that it's kind of like a Disneyland for Jane Austen. And so the trailer looks cute, I gotta say. So, okay. We might have to track that down.
Excellent.
And then there was another movie with, Alice Eve and the, Bryan Cranston.
Oh, okay.
Where the story is essentially that she's a single mom, barely making ends meet, and she finds this bag full of money in her apartment building. And it happens to belong to a Russian mobster played by Bryan Cranston.
Oh.
Yeah, it looks really good. I don't know how, you know, good it is on execution, but that might be worth checking out once it hits Netflix.
Okay.
And that's about it. And we watched Olympics pretty much all weekend.
Yeah, I not having cable during the Olympics. Is a little rough. When I went to my friend's, I spent Saturday afternoon at my friend's house. Not only does she have TV, she has a giant, well, for me, she's got a 46-inch TV.
Hmm.
So, I'm like, oh, Olympics, Olympics! And sadly, Saturday afternoon, a whole lot of nothing was on. There was hockey, which I'm just, Olympic team sports kind of bore the pants off of me. Cross-country skiing, again, after 5 minutes, it does nothing for me. Watched a little bit of curling. It didn't hold my interest as much, but the best thing they did was actually they ran a montage of the screaming that happens during curling. It was mostly the women, but like, have you watched curling?
Mm-hmm.
The one that actually pushes the stone and then kind of stays down on the ground and yells at the sweepers.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just different women from different countries just this screaming and grunting and groaning and direction giving, and it was pretty hysterical.
Yeah, it's good television, at least for a little bit.
Yeah.
Someone on Twitter said that they can improve curling, that instead of rocks, they replaced them with kittens.
Oh, I would watch that.
Yeah, oh, I'm just pandering now.
Yay.
All right, so I think that concludes share time. Shall we talk about news?
Yes, and I don't have anything. I actually thought I had emailed myself a few stories, but not so much.
Well, to start with the, you know, comic book movie fanboy news right off the top, apparently Marvel is releasing the teaser trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy during the Jimmy Kimmel show.
Oh.
So everyone, and probably everyone that will listen to this, it'll probably be available online. So if you're interested in Guardians of the Galaxy, check out the trailer. Next, Nike has come out and said that next year we're going to have the power laces that were in Back to the Future 2.
Ooh.
Remember that?
Indeed.
So, there, yeah, Nike is working on an authentic power lacing system. So, of all the things that we've seen predicted in the movies, this is the one that's coming true? So, yeah. All right. In a couple weeks, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was saying, I wonder if that's a good idea.
Yeah, who knows? Hopefully no one loses a foot. Okay. Well, here's a little bit about the Oscars.
Yes.
So, you can't do it here in the States, but if you did want to bet on the Oscars, who would you bet on? So, who do you think is going to win?
American Hustle.
American Hustle is the third choice, and you can get 50-1 odds.
At least I'm in the ballpark.
Unless you want to bet on American Hustle. There are six other movies that are longer odds. They're 100-1. Mm-hmm. The favorite right now is 12 Years a Slave.
Ah, yes.
Which is you get 8 to 15 odds. So for every $15 you bet, you get $8 back.
Wow.
And that's what we call a favorite in betting circles. What about actor? Do you have an opinion about actor?
Oh... Tell me who's up again.
Okay, I will, Christian Bale, Bruce Stern, Chiwetel Ejiofor, or Ejiofor, yep. Leonardo DiCaprio, and Matthew McConaughey.
Ooh, okay. I almost, like a little part of me wants to throw Bruce Dern up there, but I think, although it's probably the guy from 12 Years a Slave, I'm going to go with McConaughey.
McConaughey is a prohibitive favorite, 1-5.
Oh, there we go.
Second choice is DiCaprio at 10-1.
Oh.
Chiwetel is 16-1. Dern is 50-1. Bale is 100-1. And if we move over to actress, the clear favorite for actress is Kate Blanchett. She is 1-10, so she's even a more sure thing than McConaughey.
Okay,
go ahead.
Why can't I think of what she's in?
Blue Jasmine.
Ah!
Blue Jasmine. Okay. At number 2, Amy Adams, American Hustle, 16-1. Sandra Bullock and Judi Dench are 50-1. Meryl Streep is 100-1 for August Osage County.
Yeah, that's okay.
Any other categories you're interested in? I mean, it's pretty much a sure thing that... Frozen is going to get Best Animated Feature.
Yeah. What else is what else is even out there?
Let me go back. Okay. Supporting actor, supporting actress, screenplay, documentary, visual effects.
What other animated ones out there?
Animated feature. So obviously number one would be Frozen. I think it's like one. It's 1-10. The Wind Rises, my arts house pick, is 33-1.
Mm-hmm.
Despicable Me 2 is 50-1, as is The Croods. And then Ernest and Celestine, 100-1.
Okay.
So if like we jump down to visual effects, and if you find yourself betting on visual effects, you need help. Gravity is the favorite at 1-10. Number 2 is Hobbit, 33-1. Iron Man 3 and Star Trek Into Darkness at 50-1. And The Lone Ranger at 100-1.
Wow, The Lone Ranger. Okay.
So, yeah. So, it's according to this, it's not going to be very surprising.
I would imagine.
Who wins each of the awards? All right. So that is almost what I have for news, but I am going to continue the 82 mind-blowing movie facts you probably didn't know. And I think I left off at number 13, so let me continue going down the list. At number 14.
82?
82. We're chopping it up. I'm just giving you a little taste. It'll probably run until the new season. At number 14, the director of Cannibal Holocaust had to prove in court that the actors were still alive and didn't get killed during the movie. Number 15, Courtney Love insists that the role of the drug dealer Lance, that was played by Eric Stoltz in Pulp Fiction, was offered to Kurt Cobain.
Okay,
that's a little weird. Okay, number 16, you should enjoy this one. The carpet in The Shining and the second floor of Sid's house in Toy Story are almost identical.
That's creepy.
Number 17, Ryan Gosling was cast as Noah in The Notebook because the director wanted someone not handsome.
I enjoy that one.
That might be a fail. 18, Drive director Nicholas Winding Refn, spelled R-E-F-N, failed his driving test 8 times. Number 19, Barbie in Toy Story is voiced by Jodie Benson, best known for her role as Ariel in The Little Mermaid.
Oh.
Number 20, porn star Asia Carrera plays the flatmate of Tara Reid in Logjammin, the film within the film in The Big Lebowski.
Alrighty then.
Number 21, Sigourney Weaver actually made that impossible basketball shot shown in Aliens Resurrection. So I haven't seen that, so I'm going to have to watch that now. Okay. All right. Number 22, Fox passed on The Watchmen because they thought the script was one of the most unintelligible pieces of shit that they've read in years. Good job, Fox. Number 23, the original cut of The Wolf of Wall Street had over 4 hours worth of content, so it had to be cut further.
Wow.
Okay, two more. 24, Mark Wahlberg and Matt Damon agree that if they're ever confused for one another, they'll just go along with it. And number 25, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I can totally see that.
And number 25, Sam Raimi has a lucky car that is in all of his films, including his pre-automobile western, The Quick and the Dead. Interesting. All right, so that concludes that part, or the, yeah, so 25 down, let me see if I can get my math, 47 to go. No, 57 to go. 57. All right.
I take back my scoffing. That was highly enjoyable.
Oh, yeah. I got a bunch more.
Okay. You had me a little scared.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, it's okay. So I guess this is the end of the show. Any parting words, Miss Lena?
I'm glad to be back. And I miss you, Art. Come back. Jeff? Solid as a rock, as always.
Why, thank you. Hey, I'll be here, you know. We'll leave a light on for you. Is that what they say?
Ooh, very good. I like that.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the show, everyone. BD, welcome back. We hope you're going to hang around for a while. Yes, I do mean that. Scuba Dave, welcome back as well. Always happy to hear from you. And anyone who wants to play the game, please do. Let's see, all the different ways to play our game. Backseat Producers website, at Better in the Back on Twitter, Google voicemail, regular voicemail, and I don't have the number in front of me, but that's okay. All sorts of smoke signals, show up at my apartment, anything you need. We are here for you.
So our voicemail number is 618-207-4794. Also on the front page of BackseatProducers.com, there is a call me button where it will call your phone. That way you don't get gouged by the people that run the phone systems in this country or any country. So, yes, please send us your picks so we can be amazed on how much better you are than we are at this game. I think that's why BD does it.
And speaking for me, clearly I suck. But it's fun, so I don't care. I enjoy playing the game, don't care. It's nice. There are occasions when I've been high up on the leaderboard, but it's always just fun, so I don't care. Even when I bitch and moan about having to make picks, It's fun. That's all I have.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening, and we will catch you next time.